Yeah,
you
I didn't.
Your gait as you meet.
I didn't.
You haven't shaken in a while.
What's that?
You haven't shaken your head in a while? Mm-hmm.
No, I just. I need
Unless
to.
You're just shaving that one.
Yeah, that's it. So you're going to, like, welcome everybody, or how do you do that?
Yes, we're playing that, as soon as it hits you.
Okay.
A song we'll sing for all of time. The grave is empty and I am free. 'Cause Jesus, Jesus rescued me. Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Good morning and welcome to New Life Fellowship. We are so glad to have each one of you. And if you are watching today online, we want to give a welcome to you as well. We're going to give you this opportunity right now to be seated. And we just have a few announcements that we would like to bring your way. How many of you are just glad to be here this morning in the house of the Lord? Amen. Oh, this is so great. This is a highlight of the week, and it should be for all believers to know that we have this opportunity of coming together and just fellowshipping with each other and entering into the presence of the Lord. We've got a great service, I believe, that is lined out for you today. Our pastor is going to be preaching a message, and he's beginning a new series, and it's on the Beatitudes. And the Sermon on the Mount was the greatest sermon that was ever preached, and Jesus was the one that preached it. And so the second one, that the greatest person that ever preached it, is Pastor Dane. And so you just bolt in here, and we're excited about this time that we're having here together. If this is your first time to be with us, there is a communication card in the chair in front of you. If you would just take that communication card and fill that out and place it in one of our giving boxes, we would so appreciate that. Also, on your way out the door, we have a water bottle that we would like to give to you, a New Life Fellowship water bottle, and that's for every one of you. And they think I forgot to dismiss the kids. I just want to let you know we got a special way that we're going to do this today. And thank you for reminding me. All of our children, we would like to have all of our children right now stand with, would all of our children please stand right now? Right over here. Yeah, over here. Yeah. We are going to do something that we haven't done, obviously, in 6 months, and that is we're going to dismiss our children right now. And so as they go their ways, can we just give it up to all of our children this morning? Pastor Bev is going to be over in Royer Hall with our children, and then we've got children, the younger ones that are going to be over in this wing, and we are in need of some workers and some volunteers to help us out in the area with our children's ministry. If you would like to help us on a regular basis, we would so appreciate that. If you would see Pastor Bev or see myself after the service today, we will be happy to take your name down. Also, out in the lobby, there is a sign up today, and you can sign up for helping with our children's ministry. After the service today, Passion Youth, they are going to be meeting in the kitchen area, and it is a meet and greet time with Pastor Matt. Pastor Matt is our youth pastor with Passion Youth, and he does a phenomenal job, and he is going to be meeting with the parents today. Also, there's going to be ice cream that is going to be served for all of the parents who have youth that are interested in meeting with Pastor Matt. Also, we would like to let you know that today is the last day that you can sign up for one of our life groups, and so we're giving you this opportunity. Actually, I say it's the last day. You can sign up whenever you want. In the lobby on your way out today, we have a table for our life groups. Bob Goff is just a renowned speaker, and he's done a video. It's called Love Does, and we're going to be going through that for the next 5 weeks, and then after that 5 weeks is over, we're going to be doing another 5 weeks with Everybody Always, another video series by Bob Goff, and we would invite every one of you to sign up to be part of one of our life groups. Water baptism. Water baptism is something that is so vitally important. We have not had the opportunity of doing a water baptism in months, but we're going to have a water baptism service on September the 27th. That's in 2 weeks. If you have not been baptized in water, there is a sign-up out in the foyer today for that. We would like you to know that there's just a brief class that we put each baptismal candidate through on the Sunday before the water baptism, and we're looking forward to that. Also, we want you to know that we have a new church app, and if you will go on to your app, little logo, and then just go under New Life Fellowship, Logan, New Life Fellowship, Logan. You can get the church app. On the church app, you can give your online giving. There's sermon notes, announcements about everything that is happening here at New Life Fellowship. And so go ahead and do that today. Also, we wanted to bring to your attention, we have our giving boxes at the back of the auditorium where that you can give your tithe, your offering, and your mission pledges and your commitments. Would just like to let you know this past week we had several calls from missionaries that wanted to call and talk with Pastor Dane, and they're just talking about some of the needs that they have during this time of COVID. Some of their giving has dropped off, and I just want to bring this as a source of encouragement to you that our missionaries are depending upon us, and as much as possible, the pledge that you have made, we are just praying that the Lord is going to allow every one of us to be faithful in giving towards our missions giving. Well, I want to give you this opportunity right now to please stand with us. Our worship team is coming. We're going to sing an old song of the church, How Great Thou Art. And how many of you just know that God is great? Amen. And how great thou art. Listen and sing along as we worship together.
Lord, we just want to take this time just to worship you. Not for what you can do, but for who you are.
God to thee, how great.
when Christ shall come with shouts of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee.
We have the privilege this morning of partaking together in communion, something that we have not had the opportunity to do in probably about 6 months as a congregation. And this is a very special time, a very special moment. And we're going to give you the opportunity to come and to serve yourself. We would like to let everyone know that we have double cupped each cup. And so the bread is in a cup, and then the juice is on top of that. And so when you partake, if you just would take the cup with the bread and just like you're drinking it, it will fall right into your mouth. And then after you partake of the bread, then we'll partake of the juice together. We're going to sing a song while you are being served. We would ask that everyone would, after you have received your cup, if you'll just go back to your chair and wait, and we'll all partake together. At this time, I'm going to invite everybody to just come and to serve yourselves right here on my left and on my right.
Without hope, with no place to begin. Your love made a way, you let mercy come in. When death was arrested and my life began, and ash was redeemed, only beauty remained. My orphan heart was given a name. The morning grew quiet and my feet rose to dance. When death was arrested and my life began. Oh, your grace, so she's over me. You have made me new.
from my chains, I'm a prisoner no more. My shame was a ransom he faithfully bore. He canceled my debt and he called me his friend. That's when death was arrested. Displayed on a criminal's cross. Darkness rejoices though heaven had lost. But then Jesus arose with our freedom in hell. That's when death was arrested.
Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground, and he prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but your will be done." You hold within your hands this morning the bread and the cup. And it is symbolic of Jesus' body, the bread, and the cup representing the blood that was spilled for the forgiveness of our sins. I would ask you right now, would you just bow your heads in prayer? We are told that when we do this, we are to remember him. And that's why we read this passage this morning. There's numerous passages that you can read. This passage here, it reminds us of the great sorrow that Jesus went through. It reminds us of what was going on within him leading up to his death. And he said, whenever you do this in remembrance of me. Remember what I went through. And so, Lord Jesus, as we hold these emblems, we ask that you would bless them. We ask, Lord Jesus, that you would allow us to all remember you, who you are, what you went through, so that we might have redemption. We might have the forgiveness of sins. I thank you for that this morning, that we have forgiveness of sins in you. As we partake together this morning, we do this in remembrance of you, Jesus. Amen. Let us partake together of the bread. And now, let's take together of the cup. Collectively, can you just lift your hands right now to Jesus? Can you just give thanks and praise to him for what he has done and what he means to you? We honor you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you for redeeming our lives from the pit. We thank you for giving to us the hope of eternal life. We thank you for forgiving us of our sins. We thank you for adopting us into your family. We thank you, Lord, that you call us your children. We thank you that we have this promise today of knowing that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We give you thanks and we give you praise. All in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. And together everyone said, amen. Amen.
I just want to go back into we're free forever.
Yes.
While we're celebrating, I just feel like we need to go back into the we're free. We're free forever. Amen. Amen. Come on.
You may be seated. Grab your Bibles, please. We are starting a new series today through the Sermon on the Mount, and I am super pumped about this. Wow. Feel God's presence in this place. Amen?
Amen.
All right. The reason we're doing this series is a lot of different reasons, I guess, but I think this message that Jesus preached is so important for us today. So real to the circumstances and what we are going through in our society today. I've called this sermon Rock Solid. Rock Solid. Because at the end of Jesus' sermon, which is found in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, at the end of his sermon, he says this in Matthew 7, 24 through 27, he says this, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." So you see, there's both individuals, the house meaning your life. You both hear the gospel. You both hear what God is saying. You both hear what Jesus is saying. And one who does it is like one who is rock solid. The other is built their house upon the sand. And listen, it's important to understand this, that the rain, the wind, the storms of this life come against both houses. The one who stands is the one who listens and follows what Jesus has said. And so that's why we're calling this sermon Rock Solid. And one thing I like to do during this series that we're going to do, this series will actually take us all the way up to Christmas. And so it's a long series. We're going through it pretty slow. And but one thing I like to do is that we memorize part of the Sermon on the Mount. How many are up for memorization? It's not a hard memorization. We're not going to memorize all three chapters. We're going to just memorize the Beatitudes. And that is, we're going to take one Beatitude at a time, one Beatitude per week. And the Beatitudes are what we're going to be looking at today in our passage. And so the Beatitudes are found in verses 3 through 12. There's 8 Beatitudes. Some will say there's 9, but I believe there's 8. The 9th kind of is commentary on the 8th. And so would you stand for the reading of God's Word if you can? And we're going to read through the Beatitudes here this morning, and then we're going to memorize verse 3, which is our verse for today, this week of memorization. So starting with verse 3, it says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for they persecuted the prophets who were before you." All right, let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for this message today. We pray for an anointing upon your word. May you speak into our hearts, and may we be people who hear and put into practice what you are saying. May you be glorified, honored, and lifted up today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So the verse, the memorization is verse 3, and I'm going to let you cheat today. We'll put verse 3 up there. Blessed, let's say it together. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Easy peasy, right? You can memorize that And so we're going to memorize one verse per week. Now, this is a sermon. We call it the Sermon on the Mount because this is where Jesus came and he went up on a mountain and he began to preach this message. He began to say this message to the people that were gathered together. I was tempted to call this a series the best sermon ever. Pastor Michael alluded to that. I guarantee you it's not going to be the second best sermon ever, but a close third. It is the best sermon ever, and preached by the best preacher ever. And I get this privilege, and Michael too, and Matthew will be a part of it as well, of trying to articulate and convey the truth of what Jesus is saying here on this Sermon on the Mount. And as you look at this, if how many have ever read the Sermon on the Mount? How many have never read the Sermon on the Mount? It's okay to raise your hand if you've never read the Sermon on the Mount. All right. If you look at it and hear what Jesus is saying in these chapters, initially you're going to say, holy cow, there's no way that I can do that, to live that way. It seems, to live out what Jesus is saying, it seems pretty impossible to live that out, because if you look at what he says in some parts of this passage of scriptures that we're going to look at over the next few weeks, he says, you have heard that it said from those of old, or if you have heard that it been said, but I say to you, for example, he says, you have heard that it been said, do not commit adultery. But I say to you, if you look at somebody with lust in your heart, you've already committed adultery. You have heard that it says, do not commit a murder. But I say to you, if you have anger in your heart, you've pretty much done that. And so he goes on with these different things, and you're like, well, who can do it? I mean, it seems like an impossible thing. And I think that's the point. I think that's part of the point of what Jesus is conveying here, is because the audience he is talking to is a bunch of, I got to follow this law, and I got to do this law, and if I do the law, if I follow the commands of that was laid out by Moses, if I follow those things and I do them perfectly, then I'm in. I'm in heaven. I'm good. I'll see the kingdom of heaven. I got it down. And I think part of the reason what Jesus is saying here and what he's doing here is he's saying, you think you got it down? No, you don't. Actually, the law falls short of what exactly is the intent of what God is saying here. And if you think you're perfect, you're not perfect. If you think you're going to get into heaven based upon performance, well, you got another thing coming, because it isn't based upon performance, because you have to be perfect. You have to get it down right. And so I think that's in part of what he's trying to lay out. And so what we're going to do today at the foundation of this is what we call the Beatitudes. And in these eight Beatitudes, or these eight blessings that Jesus lays out, I believe are so important at the foundation of the Sermon on the Mount, because if you look at the Sermon on the Mount as a performance-based theology, you're going to fail miserably. But if you look at it upon, no, my trust and my faith is in the gospel, my faith is in Jesus Christ, that he has saved me, that he's redeemed me, and through him I can do all things because Christ gives me the strength. If you look at it from that lens point, then through Christ, I can do these things. And so what the Beatitudes in my mind is that Jesus is laying out the gospel. He's laying out the gospel, that these Beatitudes are what we would call building blocks. One is built upon the other. So you have one, and on top of that other one is the other one, and on that. They're linked together. They're not separate Beatitudes. They're not eight separate things. And they're not eight separate blessings to different people who are going through different circumstances or hold or contain a certain characteristic about them. I think they're all linked together. I don't think they're separate. And I know pastors and preachers have preached them as separate individual blessings to separate different people, and that's fine, that's great, but I just think they're missing the point. I think what it is, what this is all about, is that Jesus is laying out the gospel. And you say, well, what is the gospel? The gospel is this. It's laid out in three different things. And if you were part of our Romans series, you will remember this, that salvation is the three-part process. You say, well, Dane, that's blasphemy. No, it's not. Well, give me a second here, all right, before you start calling me blasphemous. All right, maybe you're not. First part is justification. We are all broken. Every single one of us are broken. All of us have sinned. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every single one of us have sinned, right? No one's perfect. No one's perfect. And so we needed salvation. We needed a Savior. We needed a Redeemer. We needed somebody who come and rescue us and make us in a right relationship with God. So Jesus came and he did that. We took communion where his body was broken, his blood was poured out. He went to the cross, took our sin upon himself, and then he gave us what is called his righteousness. At that moment, when we receive that, when we accept that, when we say, Jesus, I received that in my life. I'm going to make you Lord of my life. I received the salvation that you have freely given me. At that moment, you are what we call justified. Your sins are forgiven. You are just right before God. You are made right before God. Then from that moment on, is the second part is what we call sanctification. Justification is I have been saved. Sanctification is I am being saved. That Jesus and the Holy Spirit are working in your life, creating you, making you more like him. He's working out sin in your life. He's working out things. He is calling you to be holy. Sanctification. Then the third area is glorification. That we, when we die, we go to heaven, we are glorified, we don't struggle with the sin any longer on this earth, we are glorified with him. So justification, sanctification, glorification. That is the gospel. And so what the Beatitudes does is Jesus is laying that out. He's laying that out. So, excuse me while I drink some water. Because at each of these Beatitudes, Jesus starts off by saying the word blessed. Blessed, blessed, blessed. The word blessed means happy. Happy. And so some of these Beatitudes, if you look at them singularly, in a singular setting, individual setting, it doesn't make sense. Happy are you who mourn. You're like, how can you be happy when you're mourning? And then happy if you're poor in spirit. You're like, how can you be happy? So I think Jesus is laying out the gospel, and we're going to look at each one of these real quick. First one, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I don't know why maybe I'm talking too Pentecostally. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, some would look at this and say it's dealing with being poor, but it's not dealing with being poor. It's about being poor in spirit. It's not talking about money. Excuse me. All right. It's not talking about being money, it's talking about being poor in spirit, right? Poor in spirit. So what does it mean to be poor in spirit? I think what it means here is that a poor in spirit is when you realize the depravity of your sin. The depravity of your sin. That you come to a place that you realize you are lost and you need a Savior. Blessed are you when you realize that you're not just broke, but you are broken. That you are broken in spirit. That you come to a place that I am in need of a Savior. Blessed are you, happy when you get to that point, when you
cannot fix you. Happy when you get to a point where you say, God, I am desperate and need a Savior. Because you're at a point where you're going to see the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you. Because there's this story in Luke chapter 15. It's a fascinating story where we know it as the prodigal son, right? This boy comes to his dad and says, I don't want to be your son anymore, basically. I want all my inheritance. I want you to give me all my inheritance. And so he takes all the inheritance that he has, and he goes and spends it all in wild, crazy living. And then he loses all of his inheritance, loses all of his money, loses everything. And he gets to a place where he's looking for a job because he has no more money, and he can't find a job. All of his friends, all of his associates, all of them abandon him. Finally, he finds a job, but the guy says, okay, you can feed the pigs. So you have a Jewish boy comes to working with a pig farmer, and he's feeding the pigs, and he's so hungry, he's so desperate, he's looking at the food that the pigs are eating, and he's hungry, and he desires to eat the food that the pigs are eating, and the Bible says that he suddenly comes to his senses. Blessed are you who are there. Blessed are you where you come to a point of, I need a Savior. I need help, because you're about to see the kingdom of heaven. Which links the second one. Blessed are you who, those who are mourned, for they shall be comforted. This is why I think they're linked together, because when you get to a place of poverty in spirit, it should lead you to a place of mourning. Blessed are you who mourn is the statement of saying, I am so sorrowful and grieving my sin. Yes. Now, God has given us emotion. God has given us high and low emotions, but I don't think that's what this is talking about here. This is talking about that you are grieving the sin in your life. You are mourning not because you got busted. You are mourning because you are busted. And you realize the pain and the gravity of the sin and the pit that you're in. Theologians call this regeneration, because you're at the heart level. What is breaking your heart, breaks the heart of God, is starting to break your heart as well. And the good news in your mourning of sin, God does not leave you uncomforted. He doesn't come to say, yeah, that's right, I told you so, deal with it, cry out, you sinner. He does not say that at all. He says, you will be comforted when you can place a mourning of your sin, which leads to the third area. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, as a guy, meekness is not my favorite characteristic that I strive to be. Doesn't mean that I don't want to be harsh or brash, but if I died and we're having a funeral, and a few of you came to the funeral, and you came up and wanted to say some characteristics about Dane, I really don't want you to say, well, that Dane, he was really meek. It's not something I strive for. Because it kind of implicates that it's kind of weakness in a sense, you know? But it's not. And what this is saying here is meekness is this giving over control. And to me... Good Lord. It's like I hit puberty all again. What I think this is, it's the justification part of the Beatitudes. Blessed are you when you realize you need a Savior. You're about to see the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when you mourn your sin, because you're about to be comforted. Blessed are you when you are meek, because this is where you turn over the reins to God. This is where you give your life over to God. Yes. This meekness is like a bit in a horse's mouth. My older brother runs a ranch in Cody, Wyoming, and he has a bunch of horses and stuff. And whenever we go visit, we ride horses. And this isn't your type of horse riding where you pay, you know, $50 and your horse is right up against the other horse's butt, and, you know, and you're following along this trail and you're like, oh man, this is, man, I'm an experienced horse rider, you know. No, this is in Cody, Wyoming, in the mountains of Yellowstone, basically. And you're going up mountains, you're crossing creeks, you're going down steep things, and it's not, it can be a little bit fearful. And so you're on this horse, but you're guiding it, you know, with the reins, because it's got a bit in its mouth, and you're like, okay, there's a low branch coming here. Yeah, it, you know, horsey, you can get under it, but I'm on top of you. And so you move it around, you know, and you reins. Blessed are you who give the reins over to God. Blessed are you when you do that, because you, what does it say that, I just lost it. You shall inherit the earth. You shall inherit the earth. Now, this doesn't mean that you'll inherit the earth here, right here, now. But the Bible talks about that in Revelation, that we will be like God, not like God, but we, the sons of God, where we shall inherit and rule upon this earth with him. You will. When you give your life over to Jesus, there's an inheritance that comes with that. There's this blessing that comes with that. Blessed, see the building blocks. Blessing are you, happy are you when you come to a place that you realize you need a Savior, you're poor in spirit. You realize that you're not just broke, but you are broken. Blessed are you when you mourn, that you realize you're not just busted, but you are busted. Blessed are you when you are meek and you give the reins over to God, because this is inheritance to you, coming to you. Then it says that blessed are you, are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. To me, this is the sanctification part. Justification, I have been saved. Sanctification, I am being saved. God begins to work out things in your life. And the things you hungered and thirst for have changed. Now, this isn't talking about food in the sense of hunger and thirst, because there's a lot of things I hunger and thirst for. I hunger and thirst for tacos and a Dr. Pepper. I hunger and thirst for steak, potatoes, and an Arizona iced tea, you know, an Elmer Palmer. That's what I hunger and thirst for. But hunger and thirst for righteousness is not really on my top of the list of what I hunger and thirst for. But what happens is when you have given your life over to Jesus Christ, the desires of your heart begin to change. The pursuits of your heart begin to change. For example, when I got married to Bev, my life changed. I went from a single guy who threw his clothes wherever he wanted to suddenly married, and I realized there's what I called a laundry basket. Who knew? My life changed. When I had kids, my life changed. Suddenly I'm putting these little human beings in my minivan. Dear Lord. And I'm no longer hitting the gas when it's a yellow light. I'm slamming on the brakes. Suddenly, everything in my house is a hazard and a potential death. And so I'm blocking everything. That was with just Aiden. By the time Connor and Paige came along, we didn't care. Yeah, stick that fork in that, all right, Connor. That's why he is the way he is today, but more intelligent than Aiden. Right, Connor? Here's the thing. When you give your life to Jesus, you change. Man, my desire to know God, to read his word. Man, I didn't have that desire before, but now that I've been in a relationship with him, I want to know God. My desire to share the gospel, man, I always thought that was weird people, but now I'm that weird person. I desire to just tell people about the gospel. My desire to worship, Boy, that changes. I mean, we sing this song today, How Great Thou Art. And look at the lyrics of, I think it's verse 3. And when I think of God, this is what the author is writing. And when I think of God, his son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on that cross, my burden, he gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul. That just causes you to worship. That just causes you to lift your hands and worship. I know some of you Presbyterians and Baptists have a hard time with that, but how can you not? How can you not react in the physical when you think about what God has done in the spiritual? And your desires change. You long for him. Your hunger and thirst for righteousness. And then it says you're going to, let's see what it says. You shall be satisfied. Of course. Of course you're going to be satisfied. There are a lot of things in this world that don't satisfy, and a lot of people are pursuing them. But when you pursue Jesus and you hunger and thirst for righteousness, oh, satisfaction. You long and thirst for that. Your desires change, and you are satisfied only in him. And the next few Beatitudes reflect a life change. So we talked about these building blocks. They're linked together. Blessed are you who are poor in spirit, where you get to that point, oh, I need a Savior. Blessed are you, I'm mourning my sin. Blessed are you, I'm going to give my life over to Jesus Christ. Blessed are you who are hunger and thirsting for righteousness. You're beginning to desire the things that God desires. And now it begins to change. It's kind of like the Ten Commandments. The first three are our vertical relationship with God. The fourth is kind of this hinge commandment. 5 through 10 have to do with our horizontal relationship with others. The Beatitudes are similar in this, that Jesus begins to talk about, now that that has happened, your life begins to reflect differently towards others. And it says this, blessed are you who are merciful, for you shall receive mercy. I love this because this begins to see how the gospel is lived out in our lives, how we are totally changed and how we are to live. That is why I don't believe it's personality types. Because if it was personality types, how many would fall in the camp of being merciful? I don't see any hands. But it's this link together. Now that God has transformed me, God has put in me a new heart, a new creation. I'm a new creation in him. I love Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, it lays out that we lived in the passions of our flesh. We were by nature and by nurture people who are sinful. We deserved wrath. Listen, we were not people who were good and just need a little bit of help, need of a Savior. No, we were dead. We were dead in our sins. In our sins, we are dead people, and we needed to be brought back to life again. And it says this in Ephesians 2:4, after Paul lays out where we were in our depravity of our sin, deserving the wrath of God, it says this in Ephesians 2:4, but God being rich in mercy. God being rich in mercy saved us. Saved you, saved me, saved you, saved me. God in his mercy saved us. So because we have been forgiven, we have received mercy. Therefore, we give mercy. Not in our own strength, but through the Holy Spirit who gives us the mercy to give. And you say, well, Dan, you don't understand the kind of person that you're asking me to show mercy to. That guy's a monster. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I'm not discounting he is a monster. But it says those who give mercy
you will receive mercy. You will receive mercy. Next, goes together. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You have been given a new heart. The Bible says in Ezekiel 36:26, and I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. God has given us a new heart. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. We are a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. You have been given a pure heart. A pure heart. You say, well, Pastor Dane, I don't understand. Why do I still sin? Why do I still struggle with sin? If I've been given a new heart, why do I still struggle with sin? Because you still have the wicked mind. You've been given a new heart, but your mind changed. And that's why Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Thinking on things that God's called you to think on. This is the sanctification process that we're all working on and working through. And so we still struggle with that. But because of our hearts are pure, it says this, we will see God. What does that mean? Well, one day you will see God, but I think because your heart's pure, you begin to see God at work in and through your life in a lot of different things. You begin to see God at work in and through your work. You see God at work in and through your marriage. You see God at work in and through your relationship with your kids and through everything you do. You say, man, I am seeing God working here because he has changed my heart. And because he has changed my heart, the attitude and the direction that I'm going as a person has changed. And I'm seeing God at work here. I'm seeing God move here. Seventh, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. The meaning of the Greek here in this passage of peacemakers, it means loving peace. Loving peace. Your desire and your love for peace have grown. It's similar to the mercy. Because you have received mercy, you begin to give mercy. Because you have received peace, you begin to give peace. The Bible says in Romans that that we were at war with God. We were enemies of God. But he came to make us peace through Jesus Christ. And so since we have been given peace, we give peace. We are peacemakers. Final, the eighth one. I'm running through these last ones pretty quick here, but the eighth one. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Verses 11 and 12 are more commentary on this beatitude. I don't believe they're separate beatitudes. It says this, blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Here's the thing. When you live differently from the world, when your values and the core beliefs that you have are vastly different than the world values and beliefs, they're not going to like that. Blessed are you who have mourned or poor in spirit, realizing your need for a Savior. The world hasn't gotten to that step yet. They think you don't need a Savior. They think you can make it on your own. They don't think that that salvation is all through them in their works, their plans. So when you get to that place where you realize you need a Savior and you mourn your sin and you turn your life over to God, you begin to hunger and thirst for righteousness, and that you begin to live out horizontally what God has put inside you to make peace, to make mercy, to give mercy, to have a pure heart, the world is not going to like that. And if they persecuted the prophets, if they persecuted the apostles, if they persecuted Jesus, guess what? They're going to come after you as well. And here's the thing. The problem is I believe the American church, we haven't really gotten to the point of persecution for the gospel. And here's the reason why I think. We haven't really shared the gospel to be persecuted for the gospel.
We kind of hide behind it. We kind of hide in our churches. We kind of hide in our little chat rooms or whatever it may be. So we're not to the point of persecution because we really haven't really stepped out to share the gospel. And I think in part it's because we are afraid of the persecution that would come. We're afraid of the argument that may start. We are afraid of what people may say. We're afraid of being different. We're afraid of not fitting in. We're afraid of all these things. So our fear keeps us from sharing the gospel when we know persecution is going to come. But Jesus says, and he started out with the very first one, you're going to see the kingdom of heaven. And the last one is the kingdom of heaven. When you are walking in relationship with God, doing what God's called you to do, no matter what the persecution is, no matter what the circumstance is, you're going to still see God's kingdom at work. You're going to see things that a shy Christian is not going to see. You're going to see the glory of God move in a powerful, powerful way when you step out and walk in the relationship that Jesus has called you to walk into. And here's the thing. This is what we really need to focus in on here, because what Jesus is laying out here is that it's not a performance-based theology. This is trusting totally in him. Trusting in him, his power, his might. He is at work in your life. Because we call that rock solid. Those who hear the word of God and put it into practice, their lives are built upon a rock. Those who don't, their lives are on sand and it's going to fall when storms come. But right before that passage of scripture, listen, this is an important scripture to realize. Right before that passage of scripture, talking about those whose lives are built upon a rock, Jesus says this in Matthew 7, 21 through 23. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. See, this isn't based upon what you have physically done in your life. Even good things in your life. I've never cast out a demon other than, you know, the one that's living in my teenage kids. You know, come out of you. Just kidding. I've never cast out a demon, have you? I bet very few of us have. But that's not the check mark for being into a relationship with God. It's mourning or poor in spirit, realizing you need a Savior, mourning your sin, turning over your life to God, walking in hunger and thirst for righteousness and living that out on a daily basis based upon the Spirit of God that's living within you and the power of God that's living within you. Don't do it in your own strength. Don't be religious. Be in a relationship. Be in a relationship with God. And then he'll say, if you did that, man, you're rock solid. Your life is built upon a rock, and storms are going to come, but you're going to be standing. But if you're doing this in your own power, in your own strength, if you feel like you got to earn your way to heaven, well, I'm going to say, I don't know you. Depart from me, you worker of lawlessness. So I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up. But I think this is an important thing for us to think on and reflect on right now, right? I mean, that passage in Matthew 7, that's a huge passage. That's a huge statement that Jesus is making here. Many will come and say, but Lord, I did this. But Lord, I did that. And he says, I don't know who you are. Wow. So the question is where are you? Where are you at in this? These blocks of salvation, the gospel, that we are
poor in spirit, that we are broken. And you mourn, not because you got busted, but that you are busted. And then you're meek and say, oh God, I give my reins over to you. Yes. My life to you. Control my life. And then these desires change. And I'm giving mercy. I've got this pure heart. I'm extending peace. There's persecution come, but I don't care because my eyes are focused upon the kingdom. Where are you? Where are you at in this? Oh, today, if you have not given your life to Jesus, today's the day. Amen. Today's the day to receive Christ into your life. If you're watching online, today is the day. A day of surrendering, saying, I need Jesus. I need him because he's going to lay out what a life looks like in relationship with Jesus the next few chapters. And it starts here with the gospel that you need Jesus. You need him. So right now, would you all bow your heads in prayer? If you're watching online, would you just bow your head in prayer and just reflect on your own life? Say, God, I need you. I need you in my life, oh Lord. God, I'm mourning the sin. I can't do this on my own. I need a Savior. I need you, Jesus. I surrender my life to you. I call upon the Lord. You said in your word, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, I call upon you. Jesus, save me. Save me right here. Forgive me of my sins. Come in and make a new creation out of. Give me that pure heart. God, renew a right mind. Renew a right spirit within me. Right here, right now, Jesus, would you do what only you can do? I thank you. I thank you for the mercy that you've given me right here. I thank you for the peace. That peace that Paul writes in Philippians, that peace passes all understanding. It's a peace I can't explain. Thank you for that. Thank you for justifying me, forgiving me of my sins, not only the present, but past, present, future sins. Thank you for justifying me. I look forward to the sanctification part where you are working within me, calling me to walk in holiness, and I can't wait till I'm glorified with you. But right here, right now, we surrender it all to you. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And we declare it in the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Would you please stand with me? Before we sing this last song, we have a resource for people, because we don't want to leave you like going home without anything to follow Jesus. And so if you get out your phones and text the word journey to 74574, you'll get a 30-day study guide to follow, devotional guide. Each thing is about a 10-minute long thing for you to just walk in your journey with God. And I strongly, strongly, strongly encourage you to join a life group, because there you'll start. You can have an opportunity to ask questions and be around people who need to know, who have already walked where you've walked, and they can help you in your walk. So I'll encourage you to do that. The Bible says, the heavens rejoice over one sinner who repents. The angels in heaven rejoice over one sinner repents. That is awesome. So if you've given your life to Jesus today, there's a party in heaven. They got the balloons out, the confetti. I mean, they're going, you know, I mean, there's a party in heaven. It's probably a greater party than that. It's an awesome party in heaven over one sinner who repents. So I want to close out with that song we sing at the beginning. I will sing of your love came down, because we want to rejoice with the angels of what God has done. So let's sing that song.
I will sing forever of your love. Come down with my hands to heaven, shout your praises aloud. I was lost in darkness when you pulled me out. I will sing forever of your love. Come down. I once was blind, I could not see. The chains of sin had shackled me. God in heaven heard my plea. Jesus, Jesus, rescued me. Jesus, Jesus, rescued me. And I will sing forever of your love. Come down with my hands to heaven. Shout your praises aloud. And I was lost in darkness when you pulled me out. I will sing forever of your love. Come down. Sweet, it floods my soul. Hope eternal won't let go. My daddy raised on Calvary. Jesus, Jesus, rescued me. Jesus, Jesus, rescued me. And I will sing forever of your love. Come down with my hands to heaven. Shout your praise. I was lost in darkness when you pulled me out. I will sing forever of your love. Come down. I will sing forever of your love. Come down with my hands to heaven. Shout your praises aloud. I was lost in darkness when you pulled me out. I will sing forever of your love. Come down. A home beyond the sky, a song we'll sing for all of time. The grave is empty and I am free. 'Cause Jesus, Jesus rescued me. Jesus, Jesus rescued me. And I will sing forever. My hands to heaven, shout your praises aloud. I was lost in darkness when you pulled me out. I will sing forever of your love. Come down. I will sing forever of your love. Come down. With my hands to heaven, shout your praises aloud. I was lost in darkness when you pulled me out. I will sing forever of your love. Come down. Sing forever of your love. Come down. Sing forever of your love. Come down.
Amen. Amen. All right. So some take-home questions if you want. You could take out your phone and take pictures of these, or they'll be on our app. You can grab them there. But it says this, three questions for you to take home and think about. In response to the mercy that you have received, who is one person that you can give mercy to this week? In response to the peace we have in Christ, who can you share with this week the peace that we have in God through Christ? Take time this week to express thankfulness to the blessings we have in Jesus Christ. God bless you. Have a great week, everyone.